It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that
we ought to be broken for our country. And that starts with God's people. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us having our heart right with God, that we might see the wickedness of this world and this and our country and people who need Christ, that we might have a burden. Politics isn't going to do it. A conservative president isn't going to do it. It's God's people and the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you came here tonight, prayerfully, you came ready to be challenged from God's word. You came to have the Spirit of God speak to your heart. You came to be encouraged by truth. You came prayerfully to worship God and meet with God. And we need, more than ever, we need an appointment with God. More than ever, we need the Spirit of God and the power of God on our lives. But we're not going to have it if we are not careful and if we are not mindful of our flesh, if we're not careful, if we're not mindful of Satan's devices and his attempts to overthrow and unseat the truth of God and rob God of his glory. If we're not diligently aware, we're not going to have the power of God. We're going to be swept away with the tides of wickedness. We're going to be swept away with the culture. We're going to be swept away with our own flesh and worldliness. It's so important, as it's ever been, to be mindful and to be working and to be diligent about our relationship with the Lord. I just want to give some simple thoughts tonight from Psalm 39. I won't keep you long here. Look in Psalm 39. I'm just going to read the whole psalm and take a few verses here and there in this psalm, make some applications for us and dealing with our own personal lives, dealing with the flesh, dealing with the ability really to have the blessing of God and the power of God in our life. In Psalm 39, David says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more." The title of the message here tonight is Take Heed. And it's going to be very, very simple, some simple thoughts here, but just some things that can be helpful, things for us to remember in our daily life. And the psalmist makes a resolution here that is really a good reminder for us. He says in verse 1, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue." And the phrase here, or the resolution that he's making, is that I'm going to take heed. I'm going to take stock. I'm going to be aware of some things here. And it's a good reminder because the Bible tells us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And the implication is, there's never a time when we should not take heed. There's never a time when we should not be on guard and watching. Even when we're doing well spiritually, take heed lest we fall. I want us to mark some of these things that we should give attention to here in these verses. First of all, we need to take heed to our ways. In verse 1, he said, I will take heed to my ways. We need to take stock and we need to take heed to our ways. We need, on a regular basis, folks, to scrutinize our motives. We need to scrutinize our habits of life. We need to scrutinize our manner of life and the way that we live. Even our own thinking and the way that we think. It needs to be scrutinized and we need to take stock and be aware. Did you know, and I'm sure you do, but did you know that your way of thinking isn't right just because it's your way? My way of thinking isn't right just because it's mine. My manner of life or the habits of life, the things that I do, are not right necessarily just because they're mine. And the same is true with you. What would make our way right? Well, what we need to do, and this is part of taking heed, what we need to do is search out whether our way of thinking, our way of life, is in harmony with God's Word. We need to scrutinize our way. Could it be that we have things in our lives that are not in conjunction or in harmony with God's Word? Habits of life, manner of life, ways of thinking that are not in harmony with God's Word? Those things need to be searched out and scrutinized. David said, I'm going to take heed to my ways. I'm going to examine my life, and I'm going to be honest with myself, and I'm going to be honest with the Lord, and I'm going to examine my life and see if there's anything there that's not in harmony with God. And if there is, it's got to go. David also cried out unto the Lord. He said, examine me, try me, know my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. You see the idea, the prayer of his heart there, the attitude of his heart? Humility before God. I want to line up with you, Lord. I want to line up with your word. I want to be in your will. I don't want this flesh and this self to be the one running the show. Lord, you see if there's any wicked way in me. Most of the time, people won't do that, though, because of the pride in their heart. Most of the time, people don't want to be told they're wrong or told that their way of thinking is wrong. And they're not even willing because they like their way. Are we willing for our ways to be revealed to us as wicked? You know 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I heal their land. Then I'll hear from heaven. In Solomon's day, there had to be a recognition by the people that their way was wicked. You know, it's easy to say we, as a nation, have turned our back on God. We, as a nation, are going the wrong way. We, as a nation, are deep in sin. We as a nation are going to experience the judgment of God. It's easy to say we and sort of leave me out of the picture. You with me? But what about me? What about you? Examine your ways, scrutinize your ways, take heed to your ways. Are you willing to see if your ways are not in line or in harmony with God and His Word? The reason that our country is in the pit that it's in is not because of sinners, unsaved people. Unsaved people are going to do what unsaved people do, right? Their base nature, their sin nature, the depravity of man, it just spirals downward. The reason our country is where it is because of God's people. God's people not upholding a standard of righteousness and truth. God's people over decades and centuries not remaining separate from the things of this world, but conforming to the world. Not upholding the truth of God's word and living lives of righteousness and holiness and separation. God said to Solomon, if my people turn from their wicked ways. What this country needs is God's people, not politicians, not more conservative presidents. And praise the Lord if we get one. But that's not what's going to save this country or turn the tide or even stem it and hold it back a little bit longer. It's God's people proclaiming truth. It's God's people starting looking inward first. Lord, cleanse me of my wicked ways. Search me and try me. It's God's people right here determining that we are going to stand for truth and we're going to live what we say we believe, and we're going to be that candle, that bright light on a hill that cannot be hid. That's what we need to determine to be. But we have to first start with, like the psalmist said, I'm going to take heed to my ways. Then he says in verse 1, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. The psalmist here says, I'm going to not only take heed to my ways, but I'm going to take heed to my mouth and how I use my tongue. Think about this. God is often judged by the ways of our mouths. Think about this. This unsaved world, the people that we interact with, they judge God by how they hear God's people speak in many cases. And so are we. We're judged by the use of our mouth as well. You know, you say you're a Christian. How do you speak around the unsaved? The unsaved judges, God is judged by the use of our mouth in this unsaved world. How do you speak around the unsaved? How do they speak around you? Do they know you as a child of God? By the use of your mouth? Do they know you as a child of God, that your life is consistent with what you say? Our words will often reveal who we really are or what's really in our heart. You remember Peter, when Jesus was standing before that kangaroo court, and here he was at a distance, he's warming himself by the fire, and all of these other people were around, and they say, hey, you're one of them. You're one of the followers of that Jesus. And he said, no, I don't know him. And three times he denied the Lord. But what was the thing that was the kicker there? Those people said, I know that you're a follower of him because thy speech bewrayeth thee. Remember that? Well, that same principle maybe can be reversed. You say you're a Christian. You say you're a child of God. But do people know you as a child of God by what comes out of your mouth? God and your God and my God is judged by this unsaved world by the use of our mouth. Is it consistent with what they see in our life. James chapter 3, in verse 2, James 3 is what we would call the tongue chapter, I suppose. In verse 2, it says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." The psalmist said here he would bridle his tongue while the wicked is before him. He was concerned about the use of his mouth. In Psalm 141, in verse 3, look at his heart here, related to his tongue. Psalm 141 in verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." He was concerned about the use of his mouth. Verse 2 in our text in Psalm 39, though, is the other side of things. Related to his tongue here, he said, "O Lord, my God..." That's not right. Chapter 39, sorry. Verse 2, "I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred." Notice this there? He said, "I was dumb. I kept silence even from good," and it wasn't a good thing. It's not always good to hold our peace. If it's for good and for God's good. If it's truth, it's not good to hold our peace. Sometimes we need a muzzle when necessary on this mouth. But at other times, we need to speak the truth. We are living in that day for sure. More than ever, it's a time to speak the truth. We need to take heed to our mouth. Are we speaking up like we ought to? Are we that voice of righteousness like we should be? With the people that God has placed around us in our sphere of influence. On the other hand, is our tongue belying us? Is it consistent with what we say we believe? Something to take heed to. Verse 3, the psalmist says he was going to take heed to his heart. He says, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue." The psalmist said that his heart was hot. When he was thinking about the things of the Lord, it made his heart stirred. His heart was hot. The question is, how's your heart? How's my heart? Blessed are those whose heart burns with the truth of God, where that holy fire burns as they think on the things of God. The person whose heart burns with the truth of God cannot hold their tongue. They must speak of the praises of God. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but there are times when I'm just meditating on the truth of God, maybe sitting in my office studying, maybe I'm in the morning, having devotions, just meditating, thinking on the Lord. And the Lord begins to put somebody on my heart, on my mind, maybe a situation. And as I think and as I meditate, there's something that's compelling. I need to speak to this person of the truth. Especially in times like these. Do you have a heart that's hot for the things of God? Or do you have an evil heart of unbelief? Maybe a heart that's lukewarm, a heart that's indifferent to the things of God. How's your heart? You know, if the heart is inclined towards worldliness, if the heart is inclined towards, you know, entertainment, if the heart's inclined toward pleasure for self and heaping to myself treasures on this earth, if that's where our heart is geared toward, that's a heart of indifference. A heart that's not hot for the things of the Lord. You know, the psalmist said here, while he was musing, the fire burned inside him. and it compelled him. Then spake I with my tongue. We need that in times like these. Maybe we can't do that on a national scale. But what about the guy that you work with? What about family? Does the truth of God burn within you and compel you to speak to them of His goodness, of His praise? You know, I like it, and we need to hear it. I love it when somebody raises their hand, pray for so-and-so. This person is somebody that I'm trying to witness to. This person is somebody that the Lord put on my heart. This person is somebody that I've had a burden for, and I want to see them saved. We need to hear that sort of thing. It's encouraging and uplifting, and it's the sign of a healthy heart. It's the sign of a healthy church. When people are saying, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, this guy that I work with, this person that my neighbor down the street, I'm trying to witness to them. It's a sign of a healthy church when people on their own in their daily life are using their tongue for the praise of God. But it comes from a heart that is hot for the things of God. I don't think that we can just meditate on the Lord and be filled with the blessings of God and filled with maybe the person of God, filled with His majesty, just our heart overflowing with joy from what the, and not be able to speak of it and not be able to share of it. I mean, we're not made to be sponges that are just constantly soaking things in. We're made to soak it in and then be wrung out and then filled up again. Verse 4 says, the psalmist said here, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Here he says, I'm going to take heed to my ways. I'm going to take heed to my mouth. I'm going to take heed to my heart. I'm going to take heed to my end. He says, let me know mine end and the measure of my days. Have you ever stopped, or when was the last time that you stopped to think, how am I going to turn out on this present course that I'm going in life? All right, you thinking? To think of your course of life that you're on and what the road ahead is going to be. When was the last time you stopped to think about where am I going to end up with this current course of life? If I stay on this present course, well, for some, their present course is going to lead to perishing in the flames of hell. Some people need to stop right now and examine the course of their life and see their end. Some, the end of the course of life that they're currently on is that they're going to see the sum total of their life burned up with nothing to offer God. They're saved, but they're living a pointless, wasted, empty life in pursuit of the temporal things, the here and the now. If we live for the temporal, we live a purposeless life. And the priorities are all wrong. We need to take heed to our end. Where's the end of this road, the course of life that I'm currently on? David said in verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Here's a little picture of the value of this temporal life right here. He said, my days are as a handbreadth. You know what that is? It's like this. A unit of measurement, a handbreadth. Here's a span. Here's a cubit from the finger to the elbow. But here's a handbreadth. Smaller of the measurements. That's your life. The sum total of our life. And he says, mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Wow, how quickly we find out that to be true. You know, in our youth, we're full of vigor and energy. And what do they say? A man is at his prime when he's 25, 26, 27 years old. He's at his prime of strength and vitality and vigor. And then all of a sudden, life takes a cruel turn, doesn't it? Yeah, in my mind, I can keep up with a 22-year-old. But then reality sets in. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Living life for the temporal, the here and the now, it's vain, it's empty. Some are great sports athletes. You know, peak performers, perfect shape, all of that kind of stuff. How long does a professional athlete's career last? In football, the average is 3 years. That's the average. Some sports, it's maybe a little bit longer, and then they're forgotten. Some people are very talented musicians. Some people are all about physical fitness. Some people are into material things. But it's all vanity if it's not used for the Lord. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Who cares how good I am? Who cares how good you are at whatever? The point is that this life is so short. And we need wisdom to apply our hearts to see so that we could number our days and to see how important it is to invest our life into serving the Lord every day. Psalm 90, in verse 12, this whole context here is about the brevity of life. He says in verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole context is the brevity of life. And so what's the point? Teach us to number our days, how few they are. You see how important it is to have the reminder to take heed to our end, to our days. Our life is so short. It gives us a perspective again. Maybe that's what we need to be praying for. Lord, give me a perspective of my life. Give me a perspective of my days, of my course of life. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to apply our hearts to know wisdom. Serving the Lord is the only thing that's going to last. Get down to verse 8 of our text there. David says, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish." Take heed to his transgressions. Take heed to our flesh, to our life. Don't allow sin to have dominion in your life. Look at Romans 6 with me. Don't allow it in your life. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Here's the promise of God for a saved person. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Who are we going to yield to? "Sin shall not have dominion over you. Victory is won," but that's a choice that you and I make. "Whether to yield to the flesh or yield to the Spirit of God." We can overcome. We can be victorious of this flesh. And even if we fall, the Lord is our deliverer, according to our text back here. David said about concerning his transgressions in verse 8 there. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. Why does he say the foolish here, the reproach of the foolish? Listen, I think it has to do with the opportunities. How much more foolish could a person be to have access to truth and to be in a good church and to have godly influences and good preaching and the word of God delivered to them day after day and have so many opportunities and end up with a wasted, purposeless life? How much more foolish could a person be? A reproach. But we can have victory. We can be overcomers. And even if we fall, the Lord is our deliverer if we'll humble ourselves and yield to Him. The point is that we always need to be reminded to take heed to our life. Take heed to our ways. Don't just float through life. Don't just go headlong with our own ambitions and our own life and just, on into life without taking heed to the course that we're on. Taking heed to our ways, taking heed to our mouth, our heart, knowing our end, knowing that our days are short, knowing how easy it is for the flesh to take control. There's never a time when we should not take heed. If we're ever going to see God's blessing in our own life, if we're ever going to see the course of this nation turned, it starts with God's people. Have you taken heed to your ways? Have you examined your life? Regularly, we need to make sure that we're lining up with truth from God's word, to make sure that this flesh is having no control. And when we do, we draw close to the Lord. When we draw close to the Lord, we begin to see things as He sees them. When we see things as He does, our heart is hot and we're burdened for this people around us, for this world that we live in. It's a good reminder, good resolution. Take heed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as God's people, we do want to grow, and we try to live a godly life and try to live in obedience to the Lord, and we can gain some spiritual ground. But as the Word of God instructs us, him that thinketh he standeth, I'm doing my best and I'm doing pretty good by God's grace. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There's never a time when we should not be on guard, examining our ways. Father, we pray that as we do, Father, that you'd mold us and shape us into the image of Christ. Father, that we would be used of God in these last days. Father, not to be swayed with the culture, influenced by the thinking of this world, and Father, that we'd stand sure and strong on the foundation of the Word of God. Father, bless your people. Encourage us here as a church and challenge us with your Word, and Father, help us to be determined to walk with you, be determined to examine our own life and realize that our own way of thinking isn't necessarily right just because we think it. Or the habits of life, the mannerisms of life. May we be flexible and shapeable and willing to change as the Spirit of God brings conviction. Change according to your will, that we might be in the image of Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for a faithful church body, people who love you, who are concerned about the souls of men around them. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be able to do even more, to be refined even further, become more pure, more rid of this flesh and this life, and more devoted and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the week ahead, the rest of the week, and Father, I pray that you would burden our heart for those who need the Lord around us. May we be willing to speak for righteousness. Father, use each one to be a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.